welcome to the October 17, 2017 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. I have a couple of preliminaries. If you have cell phones or other electronic devices, we ask that you please silence them for the meeting. If there should be an emergency, there is an exit to my right at the back of the room and to my left at the front of the room. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Dennis?
I am here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis? Ms. Kiefer? Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
We have 11 members present.
We have quorum. Presentations of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I have one statement I want to read this evening from the legislature by me as chair. Karen Baer is on leave from the Director of Human Service of Human Rights position. As this is a personnel matter, the county will not be commenting on the circumstances surrounding it. However, there are a couple of inaccuracies being reported that should be corrected. First, Ms. Baer was not escorted from the Office of Human Rights by a Tompkins County Sheriff. There certainly was no cause for such action. Second, this is not the result of an opinion piece she submitted to the Ithaca Voice on September 26, 2017. We find it regrettable that rumors like this have been circulated concerning Ms. Baer without any foundation. Thank you. We'll go now to privilege of the floor for the public. This is the opportunity for anyone for the public to come and speak to us about any topic. If you want to speak, please fill out one of the blue cards at the back of the room and pass it forward. When you're signing the card, you're agreeing to our rules. You're agreeing you're agreeing to the 3-minute time limit. You're agreeing not to raise your voice. You're agreeing not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. You're agreeing not to speak to the county about personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of any named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, you agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. You agree that if you cause a disruption and are asked to leave, you will leave the chambers. As a note, personnel matters should be directed to the relevant department and or supervisor, or in the case of a department head, to the county administrator. Except for the county administrator, county attorney, finance director, and clerk of the legislature, which should be directed to the chair of the legislature. I have two cards. The first I have is Xavier Rusk.
The switch is right on top.
Hello. Oh, there we are. I just came here to say as a private citizen that I am here to provide an update regarding the OHR staff. We are firmly dedicated to human rights promotion and protection as we adjust to recent changes and shifts in priorities. We will continue to provide the highest level of professional services to the community. In addition to our duties, we look forward to our annual Human Rights Arts Competition, for which we will be reaching out to our collaborators and volunteers from the community to ensure that this year is a success. We will also continue to engage the community in dialogue regarding local human rights issues and policies such as the Band of Box Initiative and private employment that we've been working on this time and sorts of income discrimination. If the legislator has any concerns, please feel free to contact me. Thank you for your time, and we're dedicated to human rights. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Ray Schlauther.
Hi. Good evening. I'm Ray Schlauther, and normally I stand here before you this time of year at some point and congratulate you on all of the good work you've done. You've put together a budget. You've managed to take a little bit of our money in additional taxes, but not so much as to kill us. You have listened to a lot of people, and most importantly, you have followed the lead of an extraordinary leader, Joe Mariana, who has not only managed our assets, but has managed to keep you folks from acting improvidently and spending them. So I appreciate that very much. But that's not why I'm here tonight. I'm here in a more serious matter, and it kind of follows what was just discussed. I'm not here to comment on the wisdom of the actions that occurred last week at the Office of Human Rights. That's a different issue, another time. But I am here to emphasize most seriously and emphatically that the Office of Human Rights is an enormously helpful and important tool in this community. And I caution anybody here who somehow will attempt to exploit or seek to use these recent events as a mechanism for dismantling that office, they're making a mistake. They're making a mistake. In this era of increasing intolerance, where the biases against, where there is sexism and racism and misogyny, all are trumpeted, even extolled publicly and in these and in the community and at large, we cannot remain silent. We cannot sit still. We must marshal our assets, marshal the forces, use the instruments and the tools that are available to us. And fortunately, we have that tool. We have the Office of Human Rights. It's done a good job, and it will continue to do a good job. It is the tool that roots out the bias and the prejudice and the systemic inequities in this society where poverty increasingly deepens as the gap between the haves and the have-nots increasingly widens. So I implore you to look beyond whatever may have happened last week and remain steadfast in your commitment to this office and to the work that it does in this community. And I would strongly urge you to be wary of any efforts to dismantle that going forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Michael Kaplinka-Lair.
Thank you. I really appreciate your entire budget process. I know that you're about to the expanded budget committee is about to recommend to the full legislature those recommendations, essentially amending Joe's budget. I appreciate the priorities that you put in there, the spending or investments, I would call them, to try to decrease jail board outs next year and other kinds of alternatives to incarceration. I must say I did get a small shock last Friday after the notes came out of $156,000 for CDRC. It turns out it was a typo. I did email Marcia, and it was $16,000, not $156,000. But I do appreciate all your good work and hope that they can stand through the final budget vote. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That's the last blue card I have. Unless somebody else wants to hand one up, we're going to move on. Thank you very much. Let's go to any municipal officials that are here tonight. Are there any? Do you want to speak to us? Okay. Let's then move ahead to privilege of the floor for the legislators. And there are some of them here, I see. Dan Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to announce that this Saturday, October 21st, is the Brookendale Apple Festival. It's an annual event, 54th annual. It goes from 10 to 3 at the Brookendale Community Center. There's apple pies and other apple products, music, silent auction, wagon rides, craft vendors, a 5K run, etc. come down and enjoy the festivities.
You're promising no rain?
Yes.
Thank you. Carol Chalk.
Some of you may remember that when Carol Kamen was here a while ago talking to us about the bicentennial and in honor of that, she had some brochures about our various towns and villages that they had put together, summarizing just a piece of the history. And they hadn't yet completed the city of Ithaca, and so here she has provided us with those brochures. And so in case, I think some of you may have received these. Joe, you had a few you were giving away. Did everybody get one, or should I pass these around?
No, we distributed a small packet, I think, for each legislator for towns within their districts tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, I have extras here, so I will pass them out so that people can appreciate it's really just some of the history of the city of Ithaca, which has really a rich and varied history going way, way back to the native peoples who were here and continuing up through the current day. And just some of the personalities under residents of note who were highlighted are Elizabeth Beebe, Juanita Breckenridge Bates, James Gibbs, Martha Van Rensselaer, and Ed Connolly. Choices. So I will pass these out. If there are extras, get them back to me, and I will bring them back to my district.
Carol, as much as Carol Kamen was involved with that, can we also say that our town and city historians were part of it, and Bruce Estes, as part of a member of the commission, worked very hard on those as well.
Yes, thank you.
Let's go to, I think Mike was next, then Rich.
Okay. Hey. I just wanted to say I'm pretty excited. Harry Potter weekend is coming up. Everybody make it. I actually made it on the advertisement this year, so come and duel. It'll be fun, and there's a lot going on, so check out all the events that are going on because it is probably one of the best weekends of the year. Also happens to fall on my birthday, so enjoy.
I'll bring my wand.
There you go.
Rich?
I wanted to read a little bit from the October 12th Ithaca Journal, and this is from Southern Tompkins Town Talk by Gay Huddle. And the first mention she has is about Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, TCAT, was recently honored by the American Red Cross Southern Tier Chapter at its annual volunteer recognition dinner in Apalachin for helping evacuate tenants at an apartment building fire in Slaterville Springs last winter. The award stems from a freezing cold night on December 30, 2016, when TCAT Transit Supervisor Mike Smith sprang into action to drive a bus to provide shelter and transport to tenants displaced by a blaze at Fountain Manor Apartments. Mike said, "On behalf of TCAT, I am deeply honored and humbled by this recognition from an outstanding organization that assists and comforts people in time of crisis. TCAT's collaboration with our local emergency officials demonstrate how tightly knit our community is when it comes to helping those encountering some of the worst times of their lives." And I really like that story because it's a good story. And the part we play in TCAT, together with the City of Ithaca and Cornell. But it's a great example of different organizations in our community working together and not doing heroic things, but doing simple good things at the time they need to be done. And it's part of making government work. So I wanted to share it. Thank you.
Martha Robertson.
Thank you, Mike. I wanted to give another good news story, which is that our former Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability, Ed Marks, was recognized with the Planner Emeritus Award of the American Planning Association's New York Upstate Chapter. And this was celebrated at a luncheon last week in Syracuse, and I understand planning staff went and you know, got to see Ed be recognized in person. And just want to extend our congratulations. And we are pleased that some little birdie must have nominated him. And I think that was well done and well deserved.
Anyone else? All right. I forgot to mention that we are going to have an executive session tonight to talk about two things. One is labor negotiations, and the other is a personnel matter with respect to a particular person.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to?
I think
privilege?
I dozed. I didn't hear that. Yes, sir.
Lose it or use it, you know. Go ahead. Okay.
So I just want to invite my colleagues who have decided to leave the legislature. As one last hurrah, you might want to put on your favorite costume, maybe representing your favorite legislators who would be left here, and join us for a Halloween parade and party next Friday. The rest of you are not invited because you're staying. A Halloween parade and party on Friday that leaves from GIAC and travels through the city of Ithaca and then go trick-or-treating with a bunch of little kids. We're always in need of chaperones and grown-ups to walk with the community. This is a community event. It's not just a GIAC event. And a lot of the community come out. So if you just want to do something fun in celebration of your retirement from this legislature, I'm offering that opportunity to you. Friday the 27th in conjunction with the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, and you get to stop in Center Ithaca and enjoy wonderful chili of all kinds, vegetarian and meat chili prepared by some lovely teens of the GIAC Teen Catering Program, and cornbread and hot apple cider. So come on down. Have some fun. That's all I wanted to share. Wasn't that a fun thing?
Sounds tasty. I think Martha had hers up first before, then I'll go to Carol.
Just wonder, we're starting at GIAC and what time?
Starts at GIAC at 3 o'clock because it's a lot of people who show up and they all want to go trick-or-treating at every store. So please come through.
Thank you.
Carol?
Are we invited if we're not grown-ups?
Of course.
Okay. I just want to put in a plug. If you have never eaten food cooked by the GIAC teens, you are in for a treat.
Yes, you are.
They are truly, I'm not just saying this, I don't know if I get to keep my seat on the GIAC board, but it's a secret that you get to eat really well, and if I can keep it, I will. If not, it's worth it to be on that board just for the food.
Anyone else? All right, we'll try to move on again. Chair's report, I can tell you that there was another marker celebration in Dryden this time for our bicentennial historic markers. It took place last Saturday. I'm sorry it was in conflict with the wonderful airport drill that went on at the same time. But we did have about 20 people that came out, and we were able to dedicate a nice marker there. We're looking to try to plan for the marker dedication in the city. That marker has now been set at City Hall. Also, the one in Enfield has been set, so we want to do those celebrations next on our agendas. Want to get them all done before the end of the year. May have to do them in the snow, but we'll still do them. I have some appointments to the Workforce Development Board, Marcus Willamy. I also want to appoint David McKenna to the Public Safety Committee in place of Peter Stein, who's gone off the legislature. With respect to the Administrator Search Committee, one person has stepped off, and I'm appointing Jennifer Tavares to fill that seat. It's a community seat. The person who stepped off did so because of relationship to one of the applicants. There, as you know, Jim Dennis has been chairing that committee and doing a superb job on that. And he's advised me that he'll be away some in the next few weeks. And so I'll be serving as co-chair, simply as a backup for Jim. If Jim happens to be out of the area, I'll be handling it at that point. I wanted to tell folks about that. Any questions I can answer? Let's go to reports then. Let's start with our county administrator, Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Mike. Short report tonight, mostly in the way of updates. Mike talked about the drill at the airport on Saturday of this week. I did participate in that, and I have to tell you, you would have been proud to see the effort that was put forward at that drill on Saturday. This is an FAA requirement. It's done every 3 years. And every 3 years, we've done a drill at the airport. And it's been very confined to the airport, mostly to airport staff. With really the impetus coming from Mike Hall and Josh Naley at the airport and Lee Shurtleff and Beth Harrington at Dewar, this became an opportunity for a lot of people in this community to train in what would happen if an event like this were to occur in our community. So not only was the airport staff involved, but multiple fire departments and public safety agencies and emergency medical agencies were involved in the drill, and the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, was fully activated. So we had not only county staff there, we had representatives of TCAT, Cornell University, State Emergency Management, the FBI was there. I'm sure many others that I'm forgetting. And it became a real opportunity to learn where we were strong and where we needed some improvement. And so for perhaps 75 people who were involved in some aspect of the operation, including volunteers who were in the field doing the victim thing, it was really an incredible experience, and I think one that has helped us prepare better in case something like this ever does happen. So kudos for everyone that was involved in that. I'm kind of on the good news and fun front. The state assessors association met in Lake Placid a week or two ago, and two of our own were honored by their peers there. Jay Franklin received the President's Award, the 2017 President's Award, for his service in the profession. I looked at the remarks, and the speaker noted that he was born to the trade. As you know, his father was very much involved, so he's been a part of a family business. But high praise for what Jay has done to professionalize the function of assessment. And the other, and I think it's important too, Tammy Van Orman, who is support in assessment, who really is a part of the personality of that office. We think about the professionalism of the function. I think you know that the people we serve appreciate the personality of an office that really goes the extra mile to help out, to explain, to navigate, and so forth. And Tammy was recognized as the winner of the Susan Howarth Outstanding Staff Assistance Award for this year. A couple of things from that. It's a staff member who serves the assessment community with diligence, integrity, and professional competence. That really understates what Tammy does in the assessment office, and a richly deserved honor. And so they were recognized in front of the statewide association a couple of weeks ago, and we should feel really good about an assessment department that offers that kind of leadership to that profession. The last thing I'd note, I've been briefing.
That deserves a round of applause, too.
Absolutely. I've been briefing you on the LEAD program, and I'll brief the Public Safety Committee in greater detail later this week. I've been reporting that the LEAD program looks to be moving forward without the need for a case manager. It's been kind of a back and forth with the city and the county. The city has decided in its budget to fund a case manager to handle that function. So a little bit of a change in approach would occur as a result of that. We are continuing to work with the city to figure out how to make sure that this system works including we really would want to familiarize the case manager with our network of human services, feel that'll be a really important part of the acclimation process, and those discussions have already begun. So that's, I think those are the three things that I wanted to talk about in my report.
Questions? Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
Joe, you do something for us that I really appreciate, and I wanted to mention it. You started sending us every month or so, I'm sure it's coming from our personnel department, a list of our new employees. And, you know, with all the employees we have and all the departments stretched out around the county, we don't always get to know about the changes in the departments and the people that are being appointed to positions. So I want you to know I certainly appreciate it, and I assume that the rest of us do as well.
That's great. You're right to credit personnel, human resources. They were very much a part of that, too. So
it's
thank you.
It'll be a long time before I can get that one changed over in my head, the human resources, but you're right. Let's go to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
I do not have a report.
Anybody want a question, Jonathan? Let's go to our finance director, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Mike. In your red folders tonight, we have a sales tax update. These figures just came in on Friday, and we were able to assemble them so that Joe had enough information over the weekend to discuss this with the legislature last night, an expanded budget committee voting meeting. And the sales tax figures that are before us tonight, there should be four pages in your red folder, references the third quarter and the month of September. So on the first page, we'll be looking at the month of September. And on that page, if you go to the midsection, lines 6 and 7, you can see that the county's portion of sales tax distributions for December was up 5.78% compared to last year. This happens to be the best September on record for the county, so that shows a fairly good turnaround in sales tax since the beginning of the year. This also follows the second best August on record, which follows the best July on record. So I would say we had a pretty good quarter. If you move to the right of the spreadsheet, you can see the percent change year to date, and the amounts total $25,896,048 that have been collected year to date, compared to $24,626,997 in 2016. The increase is $1.3 million, between $1.2 and $1.3 million year to date, and that represents a 5.15% increase for the year so far. The next page is very similar, but you can see that what we're comparing in the first two columns there, we're looking at the third quarter, which is July, August, and September. And if we're just looking at the quarter all rolled up, you can see that the percentage increase compared to the third quarter last year was 2.66%. The last two pages is the historical rendering that I give out at the end of the month. If you turn to the very last page, you can see how I've plugged in the figures for 2017 third quarter or third period. And if you look at the county's share, which is the second column, once again, it's about $9.1 million. And if you just go up to 2016, 15, 14, you can easily see that this is the largest third quarter that we have on record. I'll take any questions if you have.
Carol.
So, Rick, on this page, you have here the budget estimate, kind of in the middle of the page there. I assume that's the county share. You've got the $33,432,162. Is that the...
Correct.
That's
mm-hmm.
the county share.
That's for the year, yes.
What had been in the estimate for the... And that's for the entire year.
Yeah, that's what our whole budget is for the year.
Okay, and so we are now at
75%. through the year.
Okay, but so if we keep going at the rate we're going, you know, unless we have a terrible fourth quarter, where would that put us in dollars by the end of the year compared to this $33 million?
I'm really not sure where we would be in dollars unless Joe has some remarks on working with the sales tax projections. I know we would be slightly over budget.
So what's the amount that usually comes in the fourth quarter and, you know, and the percent that it would typically increase in that quarter? You know, different quarters have different expectations. The fourth quarter doesn't quite get the holiday sales because we don't really get the report back on those until afterwards. Is that right?
Yeah, the quarters have been so volatile. I don't know if you have the quarters on there. It's gotten so hard to project, Carol. I'm not being coy or anything, but given that up and down pattern that we've seen over the past 3 years, it's hard to project. I believe it's very safe to say that we will have a surplus in sales tax revenues this year. I think we will comfortably meet our budget. I can't tell you, because I haven't run the projection. All I did was to work on things for your budget meeting last night, so I haven't run a 2017 projection with any kind of precision. I only know that we will not have a problem, I don't think, unless we have a very bad fourth quarter in meeting the budget for this year.
No, I think it's pretty clear we don't have a problem. It would have to, you know, something would really have to drop out of the bottom of the market to have a big problem, given that we're ahead of where we projected we'd be. You know, in percentage increase. So I'm just curious about whether there's a percentage increase we had expected in the fourth quarter.
And again, I haven't run the projections.
It might be helpful to have.
I got Jim, Rich, Mark.
Joe, my question was going to be, were we going to hit the mark at 2017? And you answered it, so thank you.
Rich?
I just wanted to make sure I was reading this right. This is the highest quarter I see ever, including fourth quarter. Okay. Since what, 2014 fourth quarter was close, or the closest?
Right.
Are you nervous?
Well, a rough answer to Carol's question, if you look at the last two pages, and just look at the fourth quarters going back, so right now we're at 25.8, almost 25.9. And since 2012, our fourth quarter has been more than 8 million. So if you go 25 plus 8, you're well over 33 million, and that's our, you know, our target budgeted amount is 33.4. So it looks like we should be in fine shape.
Yes.
Jim?
Yeah, that was my point.
It all happened after we wrote that letter to them to ask them how they reported the sales tax, and all of a sudden the numbers started to change. And, you know, I don't know any reason for that, but it cost us 49 cents to send that letter.
Yeah, I wrote the letter. And we did get a response. So, all right, anybody else with Rick? Thank you, Rick, for your report. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda tonight? Dave?
I haven't got any to add or remove, but I do need to recuse myself on the appointment vote. I'd like to have to separate the appointments from the consent agenda.
Okay. Well, then we'll just do the – is there a particular one that you're dealing with? Or
the mental health department. My son's a nominee for that.
Yeah, it has the same last name, doesn't it?
You know, that is.
We will vote on that separately from the consent agenda. Then let's do the consent agenda, with the exception of that appointment. There is for the Water Resources Council. I love this name. Amelia Del Marta Ali Jumbo. And to the Mental Health Subcommittee, Leslie Ann Connors. We have resolutions on the consent agenda out of Government Operations Committee. Resolution A, appointment of election commissioner. Resolution B, and that's ID 7321. Resolution B, approval of budget transfer to fund 2017 search for county administrator. That's ID 7311. Out of the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution C, amendment. That's off. Out of the Health and Human Services Committee, Resolution D, budget adjustments for revenue increases for both National Family Caregivers Act and the Medicare Improvements for Patients and Providers Act. That's ID 7348. Resolution G, authorization to executive three 10-year to execute, I think that should say, to execute three 10-year contracts with FoodNet, Meals on Wheels.
Oh, off. I'm sorry.
You want that off?
This is E you're doing?
E, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to F, authorization to accept Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration funds and execute associated contract. That's ID 7663, and there is revised as adopted by committee, I believe, in your packet. Resolution G, budget transfers across budgeting units, environmental health, medical examiner, and planning and coordination, children and special care needs, health department, ID 7364. From the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, we have Resolution H, authorizing a supplemental agreement number 4 with CNS Company. Let's go to I, authorizing a supplemental agreement number 1 with CNS Companies for passenger boarding bridge gate 3 design and bidding services.
Off. I'm sorry. There's a group of these I wanted off.
Let's go to J, authorizing acceptance of a New York State Department of Transportation grant to rehabilitate general aviation apron, install perimeter fencing, and install apron lighting. Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 7351. K is authorizing acceptance of a New York State Department of Transportation grant to purchase a passenger boarding bridge, Ithaca Tompkins Airport, ID 7349. So, the consent agenda, we're taking off the one appointment for the Substance Abuse Subcommittee, Mental Health Board, and we are taking off Resolution C out of Planning, E out of Health and Human Services, G out of Health and Human Services.
No, G
is on. G is still on? Sorry. H out of Facilities Infrastructure, and I out of Facilities and Infrastructure. Can I have a motion on the rest of it? Yes, Anna. Seconded by Leslin. All in favor, please raise your hand. Are those opposed? That's consent agenda is adopted then. Let's go right into standing committees. And we'll start with the Government Operations Committee. Dan Klein is our chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move Resolution L, authorization to implement the acceptance of credit and debit cards.
Is there a second? Seconded by Leslie McBean Claiborne. Discussion. Dan?
So some of our departments already accept credit cards for payments. This will authorize the finance department to accept credit and debit cards for certain payments. You see them right in the third whereas. Mostly the discussion in committee was about taxes, but there's those other items there as well that people pay, can pay if we pass this with credit cards. And I guess I will leave it at that to see what other discussion there is.
Martha?
Thanks, Dan. This packet has a lot of information. I really appreciate it. Was there any sense about whether compliance with tax payments would go up if this option is available? And then I have another question.
I don't remember any discussion of that. I'm not sure anyone's in a position to predict that. If anybody else wants to weigh in, they certainly can.
Okay. And then I notice on packet page 38, I just wanted to, and I've spoken with you already about this, but I just want to point out that we've got these couple of other vendors that also provide this service, and I note that the probation department uses GovPayNet, and it looks like a more expensive fee, and I would hope that, well, I'm going to support this initiative and hope that maybe probation can be wrapped into it so that the lower fees are available to those clients as well.
I did look into this after you mentioned it, and apparently different departments use different vendors because it is it syncs up better with the software they already have, with the systems they already have, so that no vendor has to adapt or rewrite their product to fit the system that already is in use. And there has been discussion in past years about making an attempt to get all departments using the same software for reasons like this. But that's something that's easier said than done. Everybody's got their systems already and they're using them. So it may happen someday.
Okay. Well, thanks for checking. Appreciate it.
Julie, then Carol.
I'd like to suggest two changes to the resolution, which may or may not be friendly. In line 3, it says, whereas the finance department has researched the benefits, I would like to insert and costs of implementing the acceptance.
That's friendly with me.
And in line 20, it says a module called Express Pay. Express Pay should be in quotes because it says it's called that. And in line 21, at no cost to the county, I would like to insert with the cost borne by the customer instead, because that's the way it's been described. Those are the changes.
Those are all friendly to me.
All right, we're ready to vote. I'm sorry, Carol, you're right. Go ahead.
Okay. I think this is a bad idea, and I'll be voting against it. I think it's ironic, first of all, that we're doing this tonight when we're going to, you know, we've agonized these last couple of months or more about a budget which we are taking great pains to keep increase below 2.4% for people. And, you know, with this measure, we're allowing people to just willy-nilly add 2.85% to what they will have to pay. People's dollars are important. And if, you know, if people had the extra money, I'd rather see us spend it on local items that are sorely needed rather than be sent off to a national credit card company that gets these fees. Second of all, I am glad that in your red folders there is a reminder notice that would go to people who owe this past the time that they're sending their checks to their or credit card payments to their towns, that give them options. I do think that and in that we make reference to the fact that in addition to that 2.85% fee, this cost does not include ongoing interest costs charged by your credit card company. I mean, we're all aware that those kinds of interest charges are 13% would be very low. That's a very good deal these days. 17%, 19%, 23%, 27%, and more. And we did ask for research in the committee as to the figures and percentages of people who pay off their bills every month. I do that, and I get
frequent flyer miles. It's how I travel. Jim talked about doing it to me the other day, you know, with me the other day that, you know, that you can get additional dollars back on your card. There's all kinds of ways one can game the system. But in fact, upwards of 60% of people don't pay off their bills every month and therefore are incurring those kinds of interest charges. And, you know, that's highway robbery, and I don't think we should be encouraging that. I do understand that we are moving to a modern era in which people want electronic options. And it was interesting as I researched this to find that there is an electronic option that costs people just an extra few bucks, if that, to use. And that is to have your bank send, you write an electronic check, essentially, and your bank sends a paper check on schedule to whoever you set that up to be paid. You can set it up in advance. You can set up in advance for a future date. I was, when we first started talking about this in committee, I didn't think that my bank, which is the Alternatives Credit Union, participated in this kind of system, and by the end, they were participating. So, you know, I found that as I went and looked at a whole bunch of national and local banks, they all do participate. So if we're looking for people to be able to pay electronically, that would be a much lower cost option. And then if people had the willingness to pay their 2.85% fee plus interest, we could be talking about how to spend that locally. And then the timing of this, note that we learned along the way that three of our towns currently accept payment, but I do think that this is not a measure we should be taking without coordinating with our towns and understanding exactly what they do, how they do it, and discussing with them the possibilities and the best practices that they have learned along the way. So I will be voting against this because I think we ought to be waiting and taking at least that step.
I have Anna, Jim, Rich.
First, I want to acknowledge that this is just an option that we're adding, that people don't have to do it if they don't want to. And I would add that I think that it's a bit arrogant of us to assume that people are unable to balance their own finances or make conscientious, intelligent decisions weighing the pros and cons of this decision against keeping their home, for example, as a potential option outcome if they use credit cards. I don't think that it should be up to us to dictate or withhold options because we feel that it's risky. It makes me very uncomfortable. And I think that we are in an age right now where people are using multiple mechanisms to maintain their own finances. And this does provide one of those options. So I would just be very, as I said, uncomfortable to withhold because we think we know the best way that people should be handling their finances.
Jim?
I just want to say to Dan, the committee, it clearly was an idea that should have been discussed, and I appreciate the fact that you've done that and brought it forward, and I'm certainly going to support it.
Rich?
My points have essentially been made. Anna covered them.
Mike Sigler.
I'll be quick. Dan, thank you for bringing this forward. This is the one thing that, actually, not the one thing, but people do bring this forward to me and say, why aren't we doing this yet? Because in Lansing, Deb Munson kind of did this a few years ago, and it's very popular. And for those people that are worried, I'm going to tell you a little bit just quickly about Rose Eveleth. She wrote an article about 2 years ago about an RFID chip that she implanted in her hand, and that feasibly can carry all of her credit card numbers so that she can literally just swipe things and pay for them. So the fact that we're talking about actually taking credit cards, I think, is interesting. I thought it was funny when I used to get a paper paycheck, you know, like you all have seen, and my fiance saw that, and she's like, that's amazing that they still do that. They don't. So thank you, Dan, for, you know, making this leap forward.
Are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have two opposed. Dan?
Yeah, so just last thing on the credit card resolution. So thank you to Rick for doing all the work to push this forward, and to Melanie Merriman, who's back there, who did a lot of the research and answered a lot of our silly questions. All right. The next meeting of the Government Operations Committee is Wednesday, November 1st, 3:30 in these chambers. Two items that I know of so far. One is further discussion about the opioid lawsuit, and I'm hoping we will make a decision at that meeting whether or not we want to recommend to the full legislature whether or not to join that lawsuit. And then the other item is a new one that you probably haven't heard about yet. There's a recommendation or an idea, I'm not sure if it's a recommendation, from the Bicentennial Committee. Carol Kamen, our county historian, is bringing it to the Government Operations Committee with a proposal to rename the Human Services Building for Elizabeth Beebe, who got mentioned in the brochure that Carol, you mentioned her name earlier. She was an early, what we might call social worker, I'm not sure, in the city of Ithaca 100 years ago or so, or earlier in the 20th century. So those are the two items I know about, and that is my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Dan?
So, Dan, Ms. Beebe, what did she do?
I haven't read the brochure yet.
Let's go next to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson chairs it.
Thank you very much, Mike. We met on October 5th, and a couple of things are on the have been passed or on the consent agenda. I guess we will come back to it. We had a preliminary discussion of the housing fund, the capital housing fund that I'd brought forth the following week in the budget process. We had a report of a number of things from our interim director, including talking about the infill site analysis that planning staff is working on, and a good chance to talk about what kind of criteria for infill sites are going to be on the list, and how that list will be used. And the idea is to kind of go through what kind of sites have been subdivided over the past years or recently, especially, and where there's infrastructure and where there's zoning, so where those things all match up, and then work with local planning staff and planning boards in the municipalities and try to kind of bring those forth for potential acceleration of housing development, I might say that, or also economic development, that some sites might be appropriate for commercial development. We had Katie made a report also on the Energy Task Force's work, that group that we appointed, I guess, earlier this year. And they have now gone through the first chapter of their report, of our report, and on solar initiatives, and kind of come up with a set of sort of very concrete recommendations. And the next chapter we're working on is about thermal energy. So the idea is to work through the energy roadmap kind of one chapter at a time and then bring those forward all at once. We also had a report from Cornell University. I'm sorry, one more thing from Katie's report. The staff is working on a revision of the 239 reviews. Most of you are familiar with these from municipal, from your town boards, from your local boards, talking about projects that get reviewed by the planning department under Municipal Law 239. That's a process set in law whereby any project that is on a state or county road, and there are some other criteria, they get reviewed. So staff is looking at that process and especially how to interact with the local boards to try to make that as productive as possible. So they will be bringing it back and discussing that further and hope to get that revised by the end of 2017. And then finally, we had a report from Cornell, which has been monitoring the chemical and radioactive waste sites near the airport. I guess it's the sites were active in the 1950s through 70s when, as one of the, it was either Dennis Shaw or Andrew Murphy said, the stuff that they dumped, it was legal to dump it then. So it's at some point became not legal to dump it, and Cornell's been monitoring it since then. The summary statement is that the plumes underground are slowly shrinking in size and concentration, but they haven't quite finished the remediation yet. So it's an active oversight project with the DEC, and they continue. And they make a report usually to Facilities Committee every year, and Julie asked to have it come to planning as well. So that was our meeting. The next meeting is, oh golly, going to be, I didn't look up the date, in November, right? It'll be November. And then I have Resolution C. I don't know if there's, I think that's the only resolution we have, but that's off the, I have two, all right. So Resolution C from the consent agenda. Amendment to Resolution Number 2017-149, Authorization of New York State Department of Transportation Master Mass Transportation Capital Project Agreement, Tompkins County and TCAT Incorporated, K007262, and that's document ID 7331. I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Dooley, did you take that off?
Yes. Yes, I did. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you today about this earlier, Mark. In reading the memo that's attached to this, it's described as amended resolution replaces the original resolution adopted on 8/15/17. And so I thought maybe the title should read Replacing Resolution 27-149. Authorizing New York State Department of Transportation. Those changes are based on the memo. It seemed clearer to me. And in line 14, it reads, state share of 9 projects in 2 public transportation grants, in 2 public transit grants. Again, that's language from the memo. So those were the 2 changes I wanted to suggest. Should I say them again?
No, the public transit is fine. I will ask Kathy what you think about that title change, because you work with Dwight, and these things are really specific. I want us to get done.
Yes, I think it's language that's dictated by the state. I'm not positive about that with this resolution, but.
Okay. All right, so that one wouldn't be friendly.
So the word replacing, although it's in the memo, is not what the state would accept.
Correct.
Right.
So except one change is friendly.
Right.
And you're not moving the other one, Dooley?
No, I don't want to fight Kathy Covert.
All right.
That's a smart decision.
Any other comments on the resolution? Ready to vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is unanimous.
And then I have Resolution M, document number, this is a packet, I think. 7325. Resolution of the Tompkins County Legislature as the elected legislative body of Tompkins County, New York, in accordance with Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, the code, approving the issuance by the Tompkins County Development Corporation of up to $26,500,000 in aggregate principal amount tax-exempt revenue bonds, Ithaca College Project, Series 2017. I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Dennis. Discussion? Or Anna?
Maybe someone who is on the IDA could explain this to me. If Ithaca College is a nonprofit, how are they benefiting by going through the IDA to have to be specifically get tax exempt revenue bonds? Wouldn't it already be tax exempt if they're a nonprofit? I figured all of you guys probably had the answer on the IDA, but.
Jim Chairset, can you answer that?
Well,
go ahead, Jim.
I'll let the lawyer answer.
Well, I could
me.
Well be wrong. You jump on it. I was going to say it's the fee structure is cheaper than, say,
right.
Dormitory authority.
And my comment also would add into that would be it's way cheaper going through the IDA for them than going through the dormitory authority, which is the other place that they might go through.
Martha?
Cheaper and faster, and the fees stay local, but it's also not through the IDA. This is through the Local Development
right,
Corporation.
It's TCDC.
Tompkins County Development Corporation is kind of the partner organization. So,
but I guess what I'm asking is why do they need to go through any of these if they are already tax exempt and not go directly to the finance third party entity?
They need to do an issue for the bond market. And
okay.
That's what the intermediary does.
Got it. Thank you. That's what I needed. Thanks.
Okay, can we vote? Takes a long form roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I'm sorry, that'll be whatever.
Yes.
It's kind of hard.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yep.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Does anyone want to change a vote? Please announce the vote.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
That's unanimous.
And thank you. And I just checked, and the next PDEC meeting is November 2nd, Thursday, at 3 o'clock in this room.
Thank you, Martha. Let's go to Jim Dennis, who chairs the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee.
I only have one item, and it is the adoption of the amendments to the 2018 tentative Tompkins County budget and 2018-2022 capital program. I would certainly move that and then have a couple of comments when it gets on the floor.
I have a second by Glenn Morey.
And let me just talk a little bit about the numbers in the third paragraph that we are talking about a total tax levy of $49,143,124 and an approximate tax levy increase of 2.32% and a countywide average tax at $6.50 per thousand, a decrease of 0.76%. And the other numbers in there, it will mean $11.14 on a median priced home assessed at $178,000.
Okay, so you're moving that?
I am.
Did we get a second?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have other discussion on this? We've had a couple of months of discussion about this budget. Dan Klein.
Just a quick question. Is there a resolution? That you were just
packet.
Filling in numbers. But
in the packet.
In the red?
Okay.
Red
folder.
Red packet. Thank you.
This will be the time to move some other amendments, Mr. Chairman.
It could be done. If you really insist. I don't know how anxious the rest of us are here, but...
feeling the darts being pointed at me already.
Dan, the number in your packet, I think, levy was 235, and it got crossed out. The new number is 2.32.
Thank you.
Right, Kat? Okay.
Say that again, Jim, please.
The number of the levy, tax levy increase is 2.32.
Instead of 2.23?
Yes.
It's 2.32.
Okay.
And is 657 per thousand correct?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Hands up. Let's go to Leslin.
And Mr. Budget Chair, can you say where that 2.32 tax levy increase stands in comparison to our tax cap?
I believe our tax cap is 3.5, and we asked the county administrator to build this budget at 2.4. As we went through all of the meetings, the presentation and voting meetings, as you all remember who were here last evening, where there was a $1.3 million roughly rough number contingent fund, we ended up doing all the amendments and ended up with $39,000 left over, hence 2.32 rather than 2.40. Had we spent all of the contingency fund from 1.3 to zero, it would have stopped at 2.4. We didn't do that, and we're at 2.32.
And 2.4 would have still been below our tax.
That was how the budget was built.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry. Who else had their hands up? Let's go to Carol and Martha.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, when I looked at the last line, I saw October 30th, but not a time. I see that it is also up above. Have we already set that date? And I'm just wondering if anybody, this is earlier than we.
The public hearing is set for 10:30, yes. And we've set that date a month or so ago, I believe.
10:30.
October 30th,
7 p.m. Okay. So I'm just wondering if anybody else has second thoughts about doing this right with Halloween there.
No, I did not.
I've heard about parades and things that are going to. I know that's Friday.
As long as we all dress up.
A long Halloween this year.
What? Martha.
I said, as long as we all dress up.
As long as we all dress up.
Halloween is the next day. I don't think it's not like a Jewish holiday. There are no two nights to it. You can have your parties when you want. All right.
Martha,
I suppose.
Yes. Yes.
Or it's only good if it's like four at a time here.
It depends.
So I just.
I
call them.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
I was not done, but that's fine.
You want to finish?
No, I guess I got my answer. Everybody called it out. so I guess the question is just not valid.
Thanks. Martha.
Yeah, thank you. To sort of piggyback on Leslin's question about the tax cap, I wonder if we could, I don't know if we usually include something about it, but I wonder if we would put a whereas, maybe a third whereas, and I'm open to suggestions, but whereas the tax cap as determined or as calculated by New York State would be 3.5% for 2018, if that's only or?
Kath, let me ask. I don't think it's an appropriate place to do that. I think this resolution is the way we adopt tentative budget resolutions, and that, I don't think, you know, one way or the other, we're lucky enough to be under. If we were over, would we still put it in? No, I don't think we would. So
I'm wondering if that is a firm figure yet either. Looking to Joe.
I think it's pretty firm at this point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can decide next year if we're over the cap, not to put, I don't know, I'd like to put it in. It's information that the public, I'm sure, we'll be asking.
Is that a motion?
It's a motion, yeah.
Or an amendment, rather, motion. Moving and seconded by Anna to add. Now restate what you're adding.
A third whereas. Whereas the tax cap as calculated by New York State would be 3.5% for 2018.
Tax cap for Tompkins County.
Good, yeah.
Discussion on the proposed amendment. Were there hands on that?
Not this discussion. I was actually raising my hand to make that change, but thank you. I appreciate that, Martha, because I was trying to figure out where can we have it recorded. So the resolution gets recorded in the minutes, right? So that will show up. Thank you.
Carol?
Yeah, so that we might want to have that read the New York State assigned tax cap. Something like that. I mean, just not everybody knows what a tax cap is or that it came from the state.
Well, the tax cap for Tompkins County, as calculated by New York State, if there's a better way to...
Mandate.
You have in there.
That's what I just said.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a better way to say it?
No, that's okay.
Will Burbank.
So was that an amendment? Or
yeah. It's on the floor. We're talking about the amendment.
Okay, so... I actually would rather we don't include that. I don't want to reinforce the existence of the tax cap. I think it is not a good form of government process. It's true. We have lived under it. So what? So I won't vote for this.
Anyone else? Anna?
I'm definitely not happy that it exists, but I think the truth is that it does exist, and the truth is that we're way below it, and I mean, people get scared about taxes, and I think that every once in a while when we do something that can be of great help, it would be good to point it out. And I think that we worked really hard to keep this budget well below the tax cap that was dictated to us by state. I think it'd be worth acknowledging.
Leslie?
Well, I don't want my colleague to the left of me to not vote on the amendments to the tentative budget. You know, this is his, you know, final year. I don't want him to go out not voting on the budget. So if this is going to cause him to not vote on the budget, is there a different way that we can highlight this, have it shown in the minutes if we take it out? I like Will. I want him to vote yes.
Will Burbank.
We did work hard. I mean, we worked real, and the work was ours. It wasn't our governor's. It wasn't really, the tax cap weighed in initially, but we set our goal far below, and I think the credit is due us. And so I don't mean to be a stickler. I'm certainly not going to vote against the budget, even if it's in less than. But I think we're reinforcing something that is fundamentally bad, and I would encourage us not to play that game. So.
On the amendment, Martha.
Well, really, this is an informational piece. I think people do care for whatever reason. But what if we said, whereas the tax cap for Tompkins County, as calculated by New York State, which we hate, would be 5%. Now, if that's friendly to Leslie.
All right, let's get serious.
I'm definitely voting for that.
I don't know that.
All right. Are we ready to vote on the amendment that Martha Robertson has proposed to add a whereas, which inserts the Tompkins County tax cap as imposed by the state of New York? All those in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think that's right. Sorry, that fails, Martha. Now we're back on the original motion. Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people, I don't need to remind you all, we had one meeting at TCAT back in April. We had 7 presentation meetings, 3 voting meetings, 1 forum. We have 1 public hearing coming up October 30th, and hopefully a final vote on November 9th. So, yes, you are right. everyone showed up here, and we did this, and I think you can quietly applaud yourself for, you know, getting another budget done for Tompkins County for the year 2018. I think it was an interesting look at the way we did the budget this year. It allowed the legislators to be much more involved, I think, than in the past. And I think there was that was a purposeful move on the part of the county administrator and Kevin to allow us to be more involved than we had in the past. The cap issue, how many years have we been doing it? 5 or 6 years. We made it over, we went over once, we matched a couple of times, and we were under 2 or 3 times. So I think we've managed the cap situation, even in 08 and 09 when things were pretty tough. I understand that people want to say these things. I think you can say them, and somehow we can put that, get it in the minutes of the meeting someplace that 3-5 is a number. And, you know, I'm happy for the taxpayers of Tompkins County that we're able to come up with this budget, and I hope it passes.
Martha?
Well, I would hope that it will go in Marcia's press release, and that's Marcia eye contact. Marcia's going to put that in in the press release, the tax cap level. Okay, cool. I understand, but, you know, if people look at one story. So I wanted to check, Joe, usually we talk about sort of new lumber. We've talked about casino money a lot, but do you remember what level is attributable to new development?
It certainly affected the tax cap. I'm going to turn around and see if Kevin. I don't know the exact number. It was so the cap, you know, is not just a 2%. It includes what you said, new lumber. And I know that contributed to the fact that we're not at 2% or CPI. We're at 3.5%. But I don't have, Martha, the exact number for you. I don't think it's in there either.
Okay. Yeah. So the point I want to say is that if that's really meaningful, the fact that people want to know how was development helping me and I don't like these IDA abatements and et cetera, this is how it's helping us, that not just because – and, yes, assessments have gone up, but that's not the point here. This is new value that's been built because there's new lumber. There are new projects. There's new housing. There's new commercial development, industrial development, et cetera. That helps spread the tax burden across more of us, and it does help all of us. I just want to point that out.
Ready to vote. Long-form roll call, please.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Callis?
Absolutely.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I want to try the thing.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yep.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Does anyone want to change his or her vote? Please announce the vote.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
That's unanimous. Jim?
I just want to remind people, the public hearing, the date, you know, the final vote is November 9th, and I hesitate to mention this, but I will. There are amendments that can be put forward right up until the last minute. So right now we have a tentative budget, so we'll see what happens between now and then. But thank you all. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, department heads, who have to spend their summer talking to the county administrator about what their desires are. And that's a tough job. for Joe and them also, and they've treated us well.
All right, shall we move on? Thank you, Jim. Let's go to the Jail Study Committee. Rich John is the chair.
The Jail Study Committee has not met since our last meeting. We will be meeting this Thursday, the 19th, at 4:30, and we will be having a presentation from a representative from Labella Design Firm to talk about the conversation we'd had with Brian Richardson on the road patrol space of the jail. There should be an interesting discussion.
Any questions? Thank you, Rich. Let's go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne is the chair. Leslie, what do all the little kids call you at GIAC? Is it the whole name or part of, or do you have a nickname?
Well, it depends. There are all kinds of names.
Okay.
Most of them say Miss Leslin. Most of them do. There are just a few who says, you know, the boss. Or, you know, the principal. Yeah, but most of them say Miss Leslin. And so do the staff. So I appreciate that. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will meet next Wednesday, 3:30, in the old jail conference room.
Questions? Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Miss Leslie.
I like that. Don't have to stumble over it.
Let's go back to Rich John for the Public Safety Committee.
Again, the Public Safety Committee has not met since our last meeting, and we are scheduled to meet this Thursday, the 19th, at 3 o'clock. And it just escaped me what we're doing at our meeting. We're going to talk about the police consolidation report from CGR is the big item. We're also going to have a presentation regarding EMS services.
Dan Klein.
You just answered my question.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Let's go to Health and Human Services Committee. Anna Kellis is the chair.
Before I forget, this usually comes last, I wanted to point out we had our meeting yesterday, which I will report on, and our next meeting is November 20th, because if I don't say it now, I will forget. This is a long list. We had two presentations yesterday. One of them was from the Department of Health that doesn't have direct services with respect to housing, but did talk about their Healthy Neighborhoods program, and I think it's important to note that beyond doing education and outreach, people who own homes or rent homes can contact the Department of Health to come and do an inspection, a walkthrough, to see what issues there may be, provide advice of how they can address some of those issues, and also providing actual materials like fire extinguishers and first aid kits, and there was a whole long list. So I recommend that people go on the Department of Health's website. They have the program listed on that website. That is in the Tompkins County. Obviously, you can find it at the homepage. There's a phone number there if people do want that service that they provide. So I thought that that was really important to point out to people in the community, because I think a lot of people don't know that that service exists. The second presentation was for the supervised injection sites, and that was Dr. William Klepek. It was a wonderful presentation, very well thought through. He acknowledged that that when he started his own investigation of this, the supervised injection sites, he certainly was taken aback at first when he first heard of it, which was what the impetus was for him doing the investigation. But he recognized that it had a similar feel, or people's innate reaction to it was similar to the reactions that he had seen about 20 years ago with the needle exchange programs. And so from that place, he felt like he could be
stay in a very scientific mind and very neutral about it, and presented from that mindset, which I very much appreciated. He came in with a tremendous amount of science, pointing out that in the safe injection sites, there were, I think the figure was over 10 million injections that have happened in the supervised injection sites around the world, and there has only been one death in all of those cases. And that is one of the main purposes of supervised injection sites, is to reduce the number of deaths due to overdose, the number of infections due to sharing dirty needles, the transmission of disease, and all of those figures are significantly less with the existence of supervised injection sites. He also pointed out the significant amount of monetary savings due to the reduced number of deaths and transmitted diseases. So just looking at the science itself, there are certainly benefits, and the cost-benefit analysis is on the pro side. He did acknowledge that the research that has been done keeping track of all that data is limited to urban centers. There haven't been pilots that have been done in rural centers or small city centers like what we have. And there have been recommendations by organizations, physicians organizations in New York State, to have pilots in New York State, specifically in urban and rural centers, so that we can assess the impact of supervised injection sites. So the question was whether or not, given all of the services, programs, projects that we're doing in Tompkins County, of whether or not this would be an appropriate site for one of those research pilots. That's part of the continued conversation, I think, that we need to have. I don't want to go through his entire presentation. The one last thing that I would say is that he wanted to make it clear that this isn't the end-all, be-all solution to everything, that it has to be part, if it is going to happen, it has to be part of a comprehensive suite of programs such as LEED, such as a detox center, a treatment facility, alternatives to incarceration, engagement of mental health with the judicial system. So this is one piece that communities have found that has been helpful. I would note, although it has been a conversation that's been going on locally, it is now a conversation that's happening in many cities throughout the country. Right now in Seattle, Oregon, I think, is another site. Baltimore is another site where they are actively considering putting in supervised injection sites. So we're certainly not forerunners in this at this point. The conversation that we had was limited. There were clearly many questions that we still wanted to ask. So we are probably, I'm looking into continuing the conversation next month. There's a video that someone shared with me that was made, a 20-minute documentary that was made locally that people have found very helpful. So I'm going to look into potentially showing that at the next meeting and then following that with continued conversation and questions about this, because it does seem like a very charged and interesting topic. So again, the next meeting will be on November 20th at 4:30 in the legislative chambers, and I look forward to some of you joining us.
Okay, questions for Anna. Martha.
And I looked at the material in the packet. Do you have a sense, did Dr. Clay, he said we should do all of this. Does he have a, did he give any sense of first, second, third, you know, what should, you know?
Yeah, well, so I asked him that actually after the meeting, so I'm glad you brought that up. The thing that he said during the meeting that was really important is that you have to have the culture, the cultural awareness in the community before really putting this into place to have it integrate properly. If there's a tremendous amount of resistance, it's much harder to have it work on all sides. So the conversations, community conversations around this specifically, and then also implementing the LEED program, he felt was really important to have in place, which we're already putting in place. I think that that's integral.
And in the interim, while we're doing everything with the ATIs that we've identified in the jail study over the next year, simultaneously having those community conversations, particularly presenting the data and then having conversations about the other institutions that have been implementing it. And the other thing that he said was very important is to make it very clear what the path to allowing or being able to have something like this legally is, so that people understand that there are exceptions that states have put into their laws to enable these to exist, as the same in Germany, the same in Sydney, Australia, and that there is a path to that, and that there is an assembly bill right now already in place to specifically enable that. So support for that, discussions about that need to happen before implementing, and that was his number one priority. And then working forward.
All right. Any other questions? Anna, you've got resolution. A resolution E, please, came off consent.
Yes. Leslin had a comment, an addition.
I did. I don't have a question, but
all right, go ahead, Leslin.
Thank you. A little bit too in response to Martha's question, and to add to what Anna just said, the Tompkins County Alcohol and Drug Council, I think I said that right, are working on a detox facility, and that's one of the things that he also emphasized, that, you know, go hand in hand with these things. So that seems like a priority right now to get that up and going. So any support that we can give towards that sort of stuff would be ideal.
Thanks. Anna, your resolution?
Absolutely. I would like to move resolution E7370, and the specifically the revised version adopted by the committee yesterday, authorization to executive 3 10-year contracts with Food Net Meals on Wheels to provide nutrition services to county residents 60 years of age and older, and that's the Office of the Aging.
Who pulled that off?
Dooley.
I'm sorry, is there a second? Seconded by Carol. Excuse me. Dooley, can you tell us why you took it off?
Well, one was the change you just made to the title. It should be execute instead of executive. But also based on the memo that was attached, I think that the second whereas should be followed by a third whereas, which would say, whereas actual annual budgeted amounts are contingent on availability of federal, state, and county funds.
Say that again. Where are you putting it?
As a third whereas. Whereas the actual annual budgeted amounts are contingent on availability of federal, state, and county funds. This is saying they're going to be 3 10-year contracts, but every year you're not going to know what the amounts are until you find out what the funds are. And I thought that that was an important clarification.
Is that addressed to the final resolve?
Is that addressed to the final resolve?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
The final resolve says, resolve further that these contracts are contingent on availability of federal, state, and county funding.
Would you like to make an addition to that that simply adds to the last resolved?
The last resolve is there, but I thought that the whereas needed to be in there to explain that it's an annual problem,
but
and the resolve says the appropriate conclusion.
Are you still asking for the
whereas to be inserted, Dooley?
I still am.
It feels repetitive to me, so.
So it's not friendly? Okay.
No.
Carol?
I also wouldn't make, I don't think we ought to make that larger change without consulting with Lisa Holmes.
It came from the memo that she wrote.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't think it's necessary.
Julie, do you want to move it as an amendment?
Oh, I'll move it because, in general, I believe that when you have resolves, they should be predicated on the whereases that come before, which is why I didn't think just having it in the resolve was sufficient. So I will move it.
Is there a second? Not seen a second, Dooley, so that doesn't come forward.
Right.
All right. Our back on the motion, or rather the resolution before us then. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Also, Anna, you have an appointment that was pulled off of
yes.
For the Substance Abuse Committee. Can you please move that?
That is the appointment for Kevin McKenna, Community Mental Health Services Board Member Representative. Term expires December 31st, 2018.
Seconded by Will. Does anyone need an executive session to discuss this appointment? David McKenna pulled it off and has asked to recuse himself, and he will be allowed to abstain on this vote. Are you ready to vote? All those in favor of the appointment, please raise your hand. Those opposed? One abstention. Anything else, Anna?
I think that's everything.
Okay, then let's go right to Dave for the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee.
Thank you, Mike. F and I met October 10th. And just a quick update on some of the major projects in the county. The Game Farm Road Bridge is... The deck was being poured the day of our meeting, and we expect it to be open in about a month. The West Mallory Road Bridge rehab project is very near completion. The West Miller Road Bridge is going to be open in about a month. And from the airport, starting November 5th, Delta will resume their having the jet on the tarmac for overnight and leaving at 6. So on November 6th, that a.m., that will be the first flight out, and they do have a schedule for part of the month. Other than that, most of what we have is things were pulled from the consent agenda or previous ones. And beyond that, our next meeting will be November 14th. So Resolution H, which was pulled, authorizing a supplemental agreement number 4 with CNS companies for passenger facility charge PFCs. Application, administrative services at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. And I will move that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. Who pulled that? Dooley?
I'm the puller, yes. So a simple thing is to just ask you to put in line 4 CNS companies of and their location.
That's friendly.
Thank you. And the other one is to insert an initial whereas. It would read, whereas authorization is required to designate and pay for administration of the passenger facility charges at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. And then that introduces what you have in one of the resolves.
That's friendly.
Are those friendly to the seconder? Okay. All right, are we any other questions on resolution? Are we ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Okay, we have Resolution I, ID 7353, authorizing a supplemental agreement number 1 with CNS companies for passenger boarding bridge gate 3 design and bidding services at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport.
Looking for a second. Seconded by Leslin. Discussion on this one. Dooley, you pulled that one too?
Yes. This is a similar suggestion that there be an initial whereas that says whereas authorization is required to enable CNS companies of whatever, wherever they're located, to provide design and bidding services for the passenger boarding bridge, paren gate 3. And again, that introduces the, what the, that's the predicate for the resolve that says that's what you're doing.
It's friendly.
Glenn, is it friendly to you? Oh, I'm sorry, Leslin.
Yes.
Friendly to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Jim, are you opposed? Jim, were you opposed?
No.
Okay, that's unanimous then.
Okay, I have resolution ID 7259. This is a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $325,000 in serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay for a portion of the cost of reconstruction and resurfacing a portion of the Ellis Hollow Road.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. Discussion on the bond resolution.
I thought Martha would second it.
All right. So let's have a long form roll call, please. It's a bond resolution.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Anyone want to change her or his vote? Please announce the vote.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
That's unanimous. P?
Excuse me. Resolution P, ID 7258. This bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $200,000 in serial bonds and notes of County of Tompkins, New York, to pay for a portion of the cost of reconstruction of South Danby Road Bridge located within the county. And I so move.
Second by Dan. Discussion on long form roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Anyone want to change his or her vote? Please announce the vote.
Ayes 13, no 0.
That's unanimous. Q?
Resolution Q, ID 7257, a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $1 million in serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay for a portion of the cost of road and highway system reconstruction and improvements at various locations throughout the county, and I would move that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn again. Discussion. To the roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Anyone want to change her or his vote? Please announce the vote.
Ayes 13, no 0.
That's unanimous.
That concludes my report.
Dave, I wanted to say you really understated some really good news tonight, and that's about Delta returning those flights to our airport. I think that is a really good thing for people traveling to the Detroit airport and something we were hurt by when they stopped those flights for a while.
Yeah, that'll be a big help because there's the biggest issue is going to be now the overcrowding at the airport. in the morning at 6 o'clock.
Well, we need that terminal grant, don't we?
Absolutely.
We do.
And the other thing, I just have to say, I drive Route 13 back and forth here on a regular basis, and it is so nice to see the jets again coming in and out. And I think we're all jet service now, aren't we?
We will be, I believe, on the 5th.
On the 5th of November. But it's, I can remember when we had mostly jet service. And so to see them come back says we're on our way back, the long road to having the first-class airport that we know we have. Speaking of which, the Transportation Committee will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. here, and a week from tomorrow. No, a week from Monday.
You're not going to have anybody at that
meeting. I guess I shouldn't have been continuing the thought in my head. All right, we're going to meet on next Monday at 10 a.m. here in the chambers, and we will talk about our airport. My call will be coming in to update us on where we stand with the original grant proposals to the state and what are some alternatives that we might be wanting to think about as well. And we'll be hearing reports on some of the other things we've been doing in the Transportation Committee. Any questions I can answer on that? Dooley?
For some reason, I had jotted down that Transportation was meeting at 3 that Monday. Was there a question of it being rescheduled?
I don't think so. I don't recall that.
I probably made it up then. Thank you.
Okay. Anna?
I had heard that Lyft had successfully complied and created a contract with the airport, but Uber is not responding to any of their requests, and that is one of the necessary arrangements. Have you heard anything? Could you?
I know there's a contract with Lyft. That's been there for quite a while. I don't know about the negotiations with Uber. Joe, do you know anything more about that? Or Jonathan?
There is currently a contract with Lyft. There is not currently a contract with Uber.
Right. My understanding is they're non-responsive.
We will get there.
Okay. I look forward to hearing it.
Anything else? Let's go minutes of previous meetings. September 19th. Someone want to move those? Yes. Leslin. Seconded by Martha. Discussion on those minutes? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have one opposed. Minutes of October 3rd. Someone want to move those? Martha. Seconded by Mike Sigler. Discussion? All those in favor? Any opposed? We have one opposed. We will now, I need a motion to go into executive. Is there any unfinished business? I didn't ask for that yet. Martha.
Yeah, in our red folders, there was this reminder notice from John Smith. And I thought, I saw John Smith, but the big thing is that, you owe $1,000 to the county. Was this just an example?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't have to.
You don't know anything.
I don't know anything that you know of. Okay. Thank you.
Now I'll take that motion to go into executive session to discuss labor negotiations and a personnel matter regarding a particular person. We will come back after the executive session and reopen the meeting, but we do not intend to take any action, and we will adjourn. Motion by David, seconded by Anna. All in favor of the executive session, please raise your hand. Any opposed? We'll recess while we vacate the room and close down the cameras. Thank you all.